Good morning. We're on chapter 14, God's Grace is Yours. This is from Spiritual Power of Truth by Joel Goldsmith. The secret becomes knowing the truth. Living in this truth, abiding in this word, I am. All that God is, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. Abide in this word. I am. All that God is, I am. And all that the Father hath is mine. Then you will understand all of the Infinite Way writings, because they repeat over and over the Master's words, I have meat the world knows not of. I have hidden manna. I will never leave me nor forsake me. I was with me before the world began. I will be with me unto the end of the world. Whatever it is that I even think that I need or want, I have only to go within my own being. If I am just still and patient, the assurance will come. Be not afraid, it is I. I am thy bread, thy meat, thy wine, thy water. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It always comes from within. It always has come from within. Ever since my first spiritual experience, that has been my mode of life. Every time that I seem to be separated from any sense of good or any form of good, I have only to go within for the realization, and the assurance is given to me. I go before thee to make the crooked places straight. This chapter is very powerful. This chapter can awaken you, perhaps to a level you've never been at before. So he says, as you read the writings of the Infinite Way, you will see that the secret of the Infinite Way is in the word I. That is the secret. Even if you go back to my basic textbook, which is the very first book of all, The Infinite Way, you will see that it is founded on God appearing as man. It is not God and man, not man going to God. The whole of The Infinite Way is the revelation that God appears as man. Then all that God is, I am. All that the Father has is mine. So the secret lies in going within to that I, which I am. You see, you do not know Joel at all. You are so far from knowing Joel that if you really do come to find out someday, you will be shocked at how little you ever knew him. You do not know him at all. Joel does not even know himself yet fully. And the reason is, I am Joel, and I have not yet solved the full secret of I. When I find the full secret of I will have the full name and identity of Joel. However, what has made the Infinite Way a worldwide activity and so widely enjoyed and accepted is the fact that it is revealing I. The Infinite Way is not only revealing I as the identity of Joel. If it were, it would have a large following of non-thinkers and idol worshippers. But it does not have that kind of followers. The reason being that Joel is glorifying himself as I, but he is also telling you with every breath in his body that this is also the truth about you. Wake up! Wake up! You are I. I is you, and infinity is the nature and the extent of your consciousness. This consciousness that is God. God is your consciousness. Turn within. Joel did not invent this. It is a rediscovery. Every true mystic has known it, and some have been able to pass it on to one or two, as Lao Tzu did. Just to one or two. I do not know that Jesus was able to pass it on to anyone, really, even to his disciples. Eventually, Saul of Tarsus did catch it from the Master, and Saul became Paul. Eventually, he who composed the manuscript that is now the Gospel of John also caught it from the Master. Whether or not any one of the Master's disciples caught it, we have no record. There is no record that any one of them caught it. All these other mystics usually found one or two or three who did. Gautama found several, but unfortunately those who did not catch it were the ones who took over. While those who did catch it, seeing the hopelessness of it, just wandered off by themselves. That may have happened in the Master's time, too. Yes, Buddha, who had one of the deepest enlightenments of any who have ever lived, the ones that did not catch it, they took over, they formed Buddhism. And now you have Buddhists sitting and using the prayer wheel and repeating prayers over and over. And they are not catching it. Well, it's the same with Jesus. He caught it. He voiced it. But nobody at that time caught it. And those who took over formed a religion so that we could worship Jesus as the only begotten. And we could repeat prayers over and over. Now, how are you going to be different from the masses? How are you going to be one who catches it? Well, I can tell you. If you have eyes to see, if you have ears to hear, if you are receptive, by the end of this chapter, you have an opportunity to catch it. I am the way. The whole secret of harmonious living is embodied in the word I. And when you realize that I is God, it is the only name you can use for God. There are no synonyms for God. Those that are called synonyms for God are not that at all. They merely describe attributes of God. When you say God is love, love is not a synonym for God, because there is not a synonym for the fullness of God. Love is merely one of the attributes of God. The whole secret of harmonious living is embodied in the word I. And when you realize that I is God, it is the only name you can use for God. There are no synonyms for God. When you say that God is mind or intelligence, it is not true. Mind or intelligence is an attribute of God. So it is when you say God is spirit. And remember, we said spirit is a word meaning consciousness. When you say God is spirit, that is not entirely true, because spirit is actually the substance of God, or consciousness is the substance of God. The only time you are really declaring God is when you say I. This is the only word in any language that declares God. In fact, when you read in the Bible about the Word, capital W, the Word is I. When you are told to live in my Word, the word to live in is I. And the way to live in it is to recognize I and the Father are one, not two. God the Father is also God the Son. When you try to separate God the Father and God the Son, that is when you have a religion that cannot work. On the other hand, the moment you have one individual who claims to be God the Father and God the Son, you have a religion that can work, because God the Father is God the Son of every individual on the face of the globe, saint or sinner. Now that means if you are a Democrat and you think that Trump is a sinner, you are mistaken, because God the Father is God the Son of every individual on the face of the globe. If you are a Republican and you think that Chuck Schumer is an idiot, you are mistaken, because everyone on the face of the globe is God the Father as God the Son. I and the Father are one is a spiritual relationship that was established in the beginning, before Abraham was. From the beginning, I and the Father have coexisted. I have lived in the bosom of the Father from the beginning, and even when I went forth to walk the earth, I never left the bosom of the Father, because I and the Father are inseparable and indivisible. The Master so recognized this that he was enabled to say, which heaven forbid any of us should say out loud, Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me. Now remember, this is the truth, but do not ever voice it or there will be a man in a white jacket running after you. My first teacher said to me, keep this secret, because in the old days they would crucify you. Today they'll give you electric shock treatments. And that's the same as a man with a white coat running after you. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me, for I and the Father are one, and all that the Father is, I am, and all that the Father hath is mine. Therefore, since I know that God is spirit, then I know that all that the Father has must be spiritual. So I do not go to the Father for loaves and fishes. I do not go to the Father for houses, automobiles, or employment. That was a metaphysical blunder that delayed this revelation taking over mankind, because it never has been true that you can go to God for loaves and fishes. It never has been true that you can go to God for houses, automobiles, and parking spaces. That has never been true. God is spirit, and you must worship God in spirit and in truth. Therefore, when you go to God for what we might call the gifts of God, the grace of God. You might ask, what are these? And the answer would be, let us not worry about what these are. Let us not be concerned. Just let us go for God's grace. Turn within, because the kingdom of God is within you. The eye of you is God. Turn within to this eye for thy grace, for thy peace. Now, as I said, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you will have a revelation before the end of this chapter. If you don't, you will have a conscious contact with this chapter, but you won't have the revelation. You see, it's not enough to say to yourself, God is I is God. It sounds pretty, but it's not enough. It's not enough to intellectually agree. Oh, I see that, yes. I have a soul, and that soul is God. And here is a human turning to God. Nope, that won't lead to a revelation. It's not enough to repeat it to yourself over and over. I and the Father are one. You may bring yourself to where you're calm and you're at peace. That's not enough. It must sink deeper. It must sink way down deep, so that when you hear the word, I, something within you, well, it starts to quiver. And then, like a crescendo, it washes over you. And you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Oh my God, I am that I am. The Master says, peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth. Do not forget that. That is on almost every page of the Infinite Way writings. My peace is not the peace that the world gives. Those who only want the peace that the world gives had better stay away from God and find their own way of getting it. However, I do want the peace that God can give. Then I am no longer dependent on man whose breath is in his nostrils, nor am I at the mercy of man whose breath is in his nostrils, not the moment that I turn within for God's grace, God's peace, so that the Spirit of God may be upon me. This too the Master revealed. When the Spirit of God is upon you, you are ordained. Ordained to be the spiritual Son, the Christ. Do not forget that in your humanhood you are not the child of God. In your humanhood, I is not God. Or we would all be individual gods walking around. And none of us would ever be in trouble. In our humanhood, we are the natural man that Paul revealed is not of God, knoweth not the things of God, receiveth not the things of God, is not under the law of God. That is what is wrong with this whole human race. The human race can go to church and pray from now until doomsday, and if it is not careful, the roof of the church will fall in on it. The natural man is not under the law of God. That is why he can sin and have sinful appetites. That is why he can be diseased. That is why he can be uncharitable, unmerciful. There is nothing godlike about him. He is an animal, virtually a beast. When, however, an individual in one way or another is led to seeking, this means that something within him is trying to break through. Because nobody of his own accord seeks God. You can put that down as a rule, with no exception. No human being has of himself ever sought God. Never in the history of the world. God has to seek you before you can turn and believe that you are seeking God. All the time that you are believing that you are seeking God, do not fool yourself. You are not. It is God in you that is trying to push through and reveal himself to you. When you know this, you can stop your search for God and sit down and listen more. And then God will break through. We walk without seeking. A human might seek happiness, and he might seek prosperity, and he might seek success, and he might seek fame, but it is not given to any human being to seek God. When you find anyone seeking God, you can be assured God started the search. God started it all by trying to break through. Then, as we become aware of a hungering or thirsting, it is not really us. It is God starting to push through. And because we have not yet become aware, there is still that sense of separation. The completion of our search for God never ends. Until, whether you receive the message, whether you are spoken to, or whether it is just an inner experience, all of a sudden it dawns upon you. I and the Father are one. I am thou. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The moment that I voices itself in there, you know that I is not a man. I is God. Now you relax and rest in that I that I am. Now you do not have to take thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed. Now you rest, and life begins to be lived out from within yourself. There remaineth a rest to the children of God. Then it is that you find you are a benediction to all who come within range of your thought. It is not because you are walking around blessing anybody, but because as you look at them, you are realizing that I at the center of their being, and you cannot help it. There a smile comes to you when you stop to think, you do not know it, but I know it. The kingdom of God is within you. You would be surprised how many receptive people there are, how many people have a longing that awakens. You may never get to know them personally. You may never get to know whom you have blessed, although here and there you will find one who has said, I find something, I feel something in you. What is it they feel in you? There is only one thing, your understanding of your identity and your understanding of their identity. That is what they feel. You are no longer looking at them with criticism, judgment, malice, hate, unforgiveness. You cannot anymore. One time I took the children to Disney World, and getting my ticket, a man said to me in line, one of the people working for Disney World said, have we met before? You seem so familiar to me. And what I was doing was recognizing the I of everyone I looked at. Later, that same day, one of the ladies taking tickets before we got on the ride, you know, she'd come over and put the bar down and wish us well, she said something similar. Do I know you? You look familiar to me. Have we met? These are some of the kinds of things, the odd things that happen to let you know you're walking the path. You can say, I know what it is all about now. You thought you were man. You thought you were living your own experience. Certainly. If you did not seem to have money, you had to steal it, or cheat, or lie to make a false advertisement. If only you had chosen I, you would have realized, and without taking any thought, that your own would come to you. Always remember that the only reason Burroughs could give the world that poem, Waiting, My Own Shall Come to Me, was because he had attained this. As a human being, no one can ever say, My own shall come to me. As a human being, you know you have to go out and fight for it. Advertise for it, struggle for it, labor for it. It is only when spiritual realization comes to you that you can say, I can go and sit by the side of a stream, and my own shall come to me. It will find you, wherever you may be. Your employment, your art, whatever it is that is required to fulfill your life. Here you must remember something. I is God, but I appears as every individual individually, as much so as fingerprints. In other words, no two of us are supposed to be the same. No two of us are required to do the same work. No two of us are supposed to express art, literature, music, or salesmanship in the same way. Each one of us has an individual gift. A thousand of us may play the piano or violin, but if we have made contact with our center, each one will play it in an individual way. So it will not sound the same hearing Hoffman and hearing Paderewski. It will sound entirely different when you hear the two men at the same instrument. This can only come about when we as individuals begin to understand that I in the midst of me am mighty. I in the midst of me am infinite. I in the midst of me is God. You need to look at that, take that within, turn it every which way, relax in it, abide in the word. I in the midst of me am God. Now this Joel self, which has not fully attained this realization, turns within, not to somebody else, but to the I, to the center, to the consciousness. And yes, I and my consciousness are one. Then forth from this consciousness comes whatever it is that is necessary to my individual unfoldment, which may not at all be your individual unfoldment. You have to go within to the center of your being, to the consciousness of your being, and draw forth that which represents the fulfillment of your individuality. As you have these spiritual unfoldments, you will come to realize that the only permanent thing in the world is whatever it is that conforms to a law of God. This is the only thing that eventually is going to be permanent status of man. So, when you see a teaching like socialism or communism, it is doomed. Why? It takes away from man his freedom and his individuality. Instead, he must be a part of a mass. He must be part of a herd. He must stand in line to collect his income. Do not ever hesitate to prophesy that the end of socialism and the end of communism is in sight, because man is crying inside of himself for freedom. Because man is not man. God is man. And God is not going to stay locked up in you forever. God is not going to stay locked up in a trade union that tells you how much you can earn and when you can earn it. No, all of these things are doomed. God is the mind of man, and the mind of man will not be limited or restricted or held in bondage, and do not think that it ever will. It will break through. There have been countries, as in the days of the Pharaoh, and even in modern days, that prevented their people from receiving education. Brings to mind the Taliban. And do you know that these very people responsible for this do not know why? They themselves could not tell you why. And there is only one reason. You cannot hold an educated man a slave, and you cannot hold an educated man in bondage. The moment a man begins to know, he begins to be, and you cannot hold him any longer. Because the eye of man is God, start right now to be a prophet and prophesy that the ultimate fate of man is freedom. He does not have to bring it about by war. He does not have to bring it about by rebellion. Gandhi saw that. Sit still and know. I, in the midst of you, am God. Be still and know I am God. Pretty soon those out there will begin setting you free, and they will not know why. Yes, you can prophesy that the fate of the world is freedom from sin, disease, death, from bondage, from limitation. And the beginning of that freedom comes with the realization of the nature of I. Resist not evil. Just be still and know, I am God. That is enough. The one truth will begin to break all of the crusts of limitation and outside powers that bind you. Just be still. Be still and know, I am God. I will never leave thee. I am thy bread. I am thy intelligence. I am thy safety. I am thy security. Live in that word, I. However, be very careful. It has always been lost by revealing it to the unprepared thought. Always. This made people believe that they humanly were powerful. Oh, I am God. And then they began to be God, and they destroyed themselves. I can tell you of movements that have existed down through the ages, broken up, and started again. Every time some group learned this secret that was not ready for it, they thought that it meant personal powers, or that it could make them a power over you, or make you a power over your nation. It is not meant that way. You do become a power unto everybody, but a power of spirit, power of love, a power of liberty, not a power over the private life of anyone. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I, in the midst of you, am God. I and God are one. It is on this point that secrecy must become the absolute law with you. If you reveal it, you will lose it. And you will be sorry, because you probably will not regain it in this entire lifetime on earth. It has never been known that anyone lost it and regained it, not in any one lifetime. There have been people in past times who learned this and lost it. No history exists of anyone who ever regained it. Therefore, we do not reveal it. We may teach it. We may impart it, as Jesus did with his disciples, as Gautama the Buddha did with his disciples, because we are not really violating secrecy. We have really become one consciousness, one mind, one life. We have really become a body in which my interests are yours and yours are mine. And our interests are not personal. They are worldwide. So you see, this group of ours can be led with this truth. And this doesn't violate secrecy. Now, if I go to, let's say, the public library and start printing out brochures and handing them out, I, in the midst of you, am God, that's probably violating the secrecy. I do not live for myself. Pretty soon you are going to discover you cannot live for yourself. You cannot know the secret and just live a personal life for yourself. To some extent, your life will have to be dedicated. And that's what I was doing at Disney World, knowing the truth. Silently, I never spoke it. However, do not let it be dedicated to telling this to anyone until, in the course of time, you find students and become convinced that they are not sitting there looking for loaves and fishes or looking how to rule the world, but instead are looking how to be a greater dedication to the world than they already are. That is when you can say, gently, very gently, you can lead up to this. Now, that's what I watch for in our group of 250 or so. I watch for those who are dedicated to the upliftment of all mankind, rather than those who repeatedly, again and again and again, ask for help. No, there's nothing wrong with asking for help every so often, but again and again and again and again, and not a word, not an action that lets me know they're not living for themselves. I see you. So that is when you can gently, very gently, lead up to it. If you will read the Infinite Way books again, you will see how gently it is led up to in every one of the books. Then you will say, why, Joel, I thought you were telling us something new out here. Why, you have already said this in every one of the books. Yes, but many of you have not seen it there. When you go back, you will discover it there, but you will see that it has been touched on so gently, so lightly, that only those who have eyes to see will see it. Only those who have ears to hear will hear it. Now that leads up to this. From now on, normally and naturally, you should have more spiritual experiences than you have ever had in your life. If you have none, you should begin to have them, because all of our work is now at that stage. However, please keep those experiences within yourself. Do not share them with anyone. With your teacher, yes. Your practitioner, yes. But not your husband or wife, not your friend or relative. This is because when you are having these experiences, no one but your teacher is at your state of unfoldment, and therefore no one else is going to be able to understand them. Keep them within yourself. Let them multiply. Let them deepen. Let them become enriched. Never fear them, although some of them come in a form that sometimes frightens. Anything that we are unfamiliar with can frighten us. Now, I kept my experiences secret, except when I would call Herb Fitch and share it with him. But he always handled it delicately and passed the pearl back to me lovingly, and I was able to share with him, but with no one else. Just even hinting at some of this, I have seen the look on the faces of people. You see, this truth does not compute with the average intellect. Oh, they may happily say they agree, but that's not the same. You have to take this within until you feel it down inside of yourself. I, in the midst of me, am God, and I feel that I. It moves. It breathes. It flows through me. I feel it. What a wondrous experience. The love of my life. I have a secret, and that is my one true love. Yes, I love people out here, but this is different. This feels different. There's a love that flows from me in my meditation to that wonderful I in my midst, and a love that flows from the I within to me, and back and forth and back and forth, and I rest in it, and there's no place like home. The student with whom I first meditated, he says, after I'd had my own experiences in meditation, had felt she wanted to go deeper. She wanted to go far. One day we came to a place where, evidently, she was about to have just such an experience. It took the form of her feeling that she was falling down all the way from the sky to the earth. She got frightened. She screamed. She opened her eyes and said, "Stop!" She was afraid of falling. She has never had a spiritual experience since. And she has never accomplished a meditation. And this was more than 25 years ago. never has since. The fear, I suppose, keeps coming back. Supposing I do fall. I do not know where you are going to fall from or to, since you live and move and have your being in God. Now I can tell you that these meditations, when they're deep, they can be sometimes frightening. It's almost as if you're going to dissolve completely. But it never happens. Your individuality remains. Others have had physical experiences. I went through that phase when it seemed as if the whole stomach was going to vibrate over and over again. Sometimes even my heart was being pulled up and down like a physical experience, and I would just look down and watch it. However, I have known others to have an experience like that, and they became afraid of it. There is nothing to be afraid of if we are in God, and if God is revealing Himself. There is nothing to be afraid of. If God is revealing Himself, there is nothing to be afraid of. Sometimes, if you read stories of initiations, spiritual initiations, you will discover that in these initiations, you have to go through some terrible experiences. That is true. You do. But the thing is to make up your mind that this is the way it's going to be. Be a beholder and go through it. Because as long as it is a God experience, the only reason it appears to be terrible is that it is unknown to the human mind. It is unknown to us. But it is not terrible when it is finished, if we can stand long enough to go through it. Now, take this chapter, read it for yourself. You might take and read a paragraph and pause and take it within. You might read a sentence or two or three or four until something grabs you. For instance, at the very start of this chapter, all that God is, I am. Be not afraid, it is I. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, that's enough for me to go within and to take that and mull it over, say it until I feel it. I, in the midst of me, am God. I, in the midst of me. Now, in the midst of me means not like you step into a house and close the door behind you. That's not within what within means. In the midst of me is like two colors mixed together, red and blue to make purple. I, in the midst of me, is a presence that flows through my body, through my soul, through my mind, through my heart. I feel it. That I, in the midst of me, is God. and that I. Is what I am. I am that I am. And so I might take that, look at that over in every which way, and finally take a breath. I am God. And just rest. Rest. Let it do its work. Let it have its way with you. Rest in it like a boat on the water. Just rest like an ice cube in a glass. Let it move you every which way. I, in the midst of you, am the way. And if nothing happens, open your eyes, say thank you, Father, and go about your business. And then a couple hours later, come on back, try it again. Try it again, try it again. You have to have the experience for it to become real to you. Again, it's not enough to read the words, I in the midst of me am God. It's not enough to think about it. Well, what would that be like, I in the midst of me am God? No. It's not enough to hear someone say it on a talk. I in the midst of me is God. It's only while you're sitting there in meditation, resting in that I, and suddenly it makes itself known. You feel it, or it speaks, or it thunders. When that happens, you have had the inner realization of I. From then on, it becomes your work, your life's work, to find a way to allow that I to live your life. I live, yet not I. I, Christ, liveth my life. Come, follow me. Make this I at the center of your being, this I at the center of your consciousness, this I at the center of your spirit. Let it become what you live for, what you die for. Let it become your every prayer. Forget about the loaves and fishes, automobiles, houses, companions. Forget about all of those things. Seek I at the center of your being, and all of these things shall come to you. I tell you not from theory, but because I have lived it, and am living it. I, in the midst of me, am God. Thank you. God bless you. And may you come to be wedded to the I of your being. Amen.